Genesis chapter 13, you'll find our text this morning. It's in verses 5 through 13. Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 through 13. Genesis 13, verses 5 through 13. The Bible says, Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, Please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right, or if you go to the right, then I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, and that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pause once more. Father, now we ask for that divine illumination that only you can give us. Lord, I pray that you'd stop the wandering minds. I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, help us to grasp these moments. It's a divine appointment, and we want to make sure that we are here, not just in body, but, Lord, in soul, in mind, in heart, that we might hear what you'd have to speak to us today. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. This message is really simple and clear. It's called Living by Faith and Not by Sight. Abram went down to Egypt. He was a saved man. He believed in God. But why did he go down there? We talked about this last week. Well, Abram went down there because there was a famine in the land. And we talked about this. It's amazing how that God was able to take Abraham. I'm going to call him Abraham. It's easier because I keep getting him mixed up. He'll be Abraham soon enough. So Abraham, out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he was a moon worshiper. And so he gets him all the way up to Haran. And then he sends him, it's a four-month crossing across the desert to get him to the promised land. And you remember in our text in chapter 12 and the beginning of 13 that it said twice that the Canaanites were in the land. Remember that. The Canaanites, they were idol worshipers. They sacrificed babies. They did all kind of odd stuff. They were wicked and cruel. Now, Abraham comes in, and he's not welcome there at all. But one of the things that he does when he gets there is he goes and he builds an altar between Ai and Bethel. He builds an altar unto God. And it says, and then Abraham began to call upon the name of the Lord. That is important. Now, remember this. A God that he hasn't ever seen, a God who spoke to him, possibly in a vision or maybe in a dream, but it was enough for Abraham to leave where he once was, leave his family, his business, and then come to a land he'd never been to before. That was faith. But what happened when he gets to the land of Canaan? Well, there's a famine in the land, and the Canaanites will not feed him, sell him, or take care of him. So Abram does what most of us would probably do. He takes it upon himself, instead of trusting God, the God who brought him all the way over there and who promised to give him the land. But remember, the Canaanites are there. So he goes down to Egypt because Egypt has food. Now, you know what happens when he got down there. On the way down there, right before they get to Pharaoh's kingdom, he tells his wife, Sarah, says, listen, you are drop-dead gorgeous. And if they find out that you're my wife, they're going to kill me. Now, what's sad about this is Abraham, all of a sudden, he's not really taking care of Sarah. He's taking care of himself. And so he wants her to lie. Well, they get down there, and he says, tell them you're my half-sister. Well, they get down there, and all of a sudden, the princes of Pharaoh, they notice that she is beautiful. And so she says, well, I'm not married. This is my half-brother. I'm his half-sister. And guess what happens? Pharaoh takes her. Well, some things begin to take place. Because of her, Pharaoh gives Abraham all these gifts, cattle and sheep and goats and all this silver and gold and all these things. And then Pharaoh finds out that Abraham has lied to him. Now, this is odd. You have a pagan king who worships 10,000 different kinds of gods, Pharaoh, and he confronts Abraham and says, "You didn't tell me the truth that this was your wife and not your sister." And Abraham is publicly humiliated. And he says, and for your sake, he says, "I will not take your life for her sake." So Sarah now has bailed him out twice, the lie, half-sister, and now he's going to let him go. So he says, "Get out of my sight." So chapter 12 ends up that they leave, and chapter 13, they leave. And there's something that's odd about this. Right in the middle of it, look in verse 5, "Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents." So anybody who was associated with Sarah, now they have just been given incredible wealth. You can say, well, that was the blessing of God. Let's stop. Can we really expect God to bless us when we're not having faith in him? How did he end up down in Egypt? There's a famine. Well, Abraham's got to take care of his family. Don't you think if God can get him from the Ur of the Chaldees over into the promised land and take care of him all along the way, don't you think that God can take care of him even in the midst of a famine? You see how easy it is for us to justify what we do? God saved me from hell. He's forgiven me of all my sins. And now I've got to make some choices here. I've got to make some plans. You say, well, where's God? Well, oh, no, God still loves me, but I've got to make plans now because, you know, I want to do, and you know what the bottom line is? I want to do what protects me, what keeps me safe, and what makes me feel good. That's Abraham. And that's where we are. We have to be real careful. You say, well, Abraham, what happened? Well, he came back. He went down there. He was a saved man, but now he comes back a spiritual man. We talked about this. He learned about separation. He learned about sanctification, and he learned about sacrifice. He learned about the fact of separation. He separated himself from his family. Now he's down in Egypt. Now he's got to separate himself from Egypt. That's a picture of repentance. No matter how long you and I live, every day we are going to have to repent of something. We've got to separate ourselves from something. Anything that tries to come between us and our walk with God, anything that tries to get between us and trusting God, you may have to repent of yourself. You may, listen, you may get so full of yourself, you have to repent of yourself. Because you think you got all the answers. Oh, you know, the last three choices I've made, they've all gone, they worked out pretty good, you know. The second one is sanctification. Sanctification is when God pulls you away from everything else and pulls you back to himself. Because when Abraham, in the first four verses of chapter 13, when Abraham got back to the promised land, he went back to his altar and he began to call upon the name of the Lord as he did in the beginning. God's going to separate you from whatever's keeping you from him. He will do that. Why? It's called his love. That's called his promise. You belong to him. So, well, I don't know. Well, listen, you will appreciate that one day when death comes that you belong to him, because then he's going to take you home to be with him. The third thing Abraham learned was sacrifice. Abraham has to say no to the things that look good because they are not the best. That's what our text is about this morning. Lot and Abraham, now because they have all of this wealth, Abraham shared with Lot, obviously, it's implied. But now the herdsmen, there's not enough grazing land, and so they start getting into it, and it's called strife in verse 7. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot. So now, watch Abraham. Now, you want to talk about maturity. Abraham is living by faith and not by sight. What's he do? He goes to Lot. Now, understand this. Who did God give the promise to? Abraham. Lot's just tagging along. He's the nephew. His dad died back in the Ur of the Chaldees. So Lot's just kind of hanging out with Abraham, his uncle. So Abraham goes to him, he says, listen, we don't need to have strife between us or between our herdsmen. So let's do this. Now listen to the spiritual maturity of Abraham and put yourself there and see what you would do. Right? First step, I know what I would do. Then I had to back up and punt because this is what I should do. So he says, listen, if you want to go to the left, and I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. And notice what takes place. Look with me down in verse 10. And Lot lifted his eyes, and he saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Stop there. Lot was looking for something easy. He wanted what was good for him and what he thought would be the best for him. So Uncle Abraham gives him the choice. You can go whatever direction you go in, I'll go in the opposite direction. Now, why is it that Abraham can do this? Remember now, he went down to Egypt. Bad. He comes back, now he's spiritual. Now he's calling on the name of the Lord as he did in the beginning. And so Abraham knows that because God has already given him everything, he can let go of something. Abraham's not being, he's not coveting everything. He's not being greedy. So he gives his nephew the choice. Now what's amazing is the choice that Lot takes. See, Abraham's walking by faith. Lot's walking by what? Sight. Says he lifted up his eyes and he looked. Now, let's read the rest of the verse. Back to verse 10. And Lot lifted his eyes and he saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, watch this. Like the garden of the Lord. And now watch this second one. And like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Lot is living by sight. He's living by his flesh. He's living by his feelings. He has learned nothing from his uncle Abraham, even though they've been down to Egypt together and they've come back. No doubt he knew where the altar was, where Abraham would go and call upon the name of the Lord as he did in the beginning. Lot's got all that. He's seen it all. But yet he's not wanting to do it at all. And he's going to pay a horrible price for this lack of walking by faith instead of walking by sight. Now, here's where it comes to us. This morning, are you walking by faith or are you walking by sight? So, well, let me throw in a few things. How about last week and maybe some of the financial things that you did? How about some of the choices that you've made recently? Are you walking by faith or are you walking by sight? So, David, I can see the Lord's hand in this, okay? When I was growing up, there were some things I'd ask my dad for, and the only reason I would ask him because I knew he was going to say what? Yes. And if I knew he was going to say no, I'd just kind of go all around the thing and hope I didn't get caught. And then when I got over here, if it turned out okay, I could justify, maybe. He'd go, boy, you were something. Y'all want to turn that camera around and show everybody else in here? We've all done that. Now, Brother David, we've all done that. And we all do it with our relationship with Jesus. Why won't you ask him about whether or not this is a good choice? Why don't you ask him whether or not this is a good idea? Why? Because we don't want to hear what he's going to say. Because we know what he's going to say. Then we back up, and this is, you talk about presumption. Well, there's grace if I mess it up. There is grace. But there's also the consequences. Grace comes wrapped up in the consequences, too. Don't think you're just going to walk away and skate. No, it doesn't work that way. So here comes Lot. We're just going to go ahead and jump to the back. Abraham's been to the altar. That's in verse 4. And Abraham is doing what the Lord has asked him. But Lot is going to choose the good instead of the best. So, well, I still get what I want, but is it the best for what God wants you to have? See, Lot's going to make a couple of mistakes. First of all, he's thinking with his head and he's not listening to his heart. That means he has no worship at all and he has no personal convictions whatsoever. Lot is just doing what Lot wants to do. Lot is following the model of the old Abraham. That's how Abraham ended up down in Egypt. So Lot's just following, but he didn't pick up when Abraham came back. He didn't start following that model of Abraham. Lot was worldly in his desires. Listen to his reasons for what it was well watered. It's like the garden of the Lord. It's like the land of Egypt. Do you think Lot had a good time when he was in Egypt? Oh, man, yeah. He's like the prodigal on steroids. He was having a ball down there. I mean, they've got all kinds of stuff going on. So he gets back and he says, you know what? I'm going to go to the plains of Jordan. And it says, I'm going to get as close as I can to Sodom. Why? Because what he's heard is Sodom, there's a lot going on down there. Lot looked instead of trusting. He chose the good instead of the best. This is important. He liked the land of Egypt because they had food there while the promised land had none. Lot is going to separate himself from his uncle and from the worship of God, because that's what Abraham represents to him. We all have an Abraham in our lives, someone who represents God to us. That's the someone that if you're getting ready to do something that you know is not biblical, you're not going to ask for their advice. Why? Because you know what they're going to tell you. So you're going to go around them. And you'll ask them, how's everything going? Everything's fine. I love that. I can look at you. You having a bad day? Why do you think I'm having a bad day? Because you are. You got something on your mind? No, I don't have anything on my mind. As they're walking away. Why is it that we're afraid to get near our Abraham? We all have one. Ladies, you have an Abraham. Why is that? Because when they look at us, they don't see the reflection of the model that they're trying to set for you in their lives. That's Abraham. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot's going to learn that sin never looks like the brochure. You cannot get out when you want to, and you are not in control because it will control you. Lot's going to run into two issues. Look in chapter 14, verse 12. There's these five kings from the east. They're going to come. And in verse 12 of chapter 14, they also, see, they went down, these kings went to Sodom and Gomorrah and they raided it. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and departed. Lot has left the protection of his uncle. He's gone down to Sodom and now he's got these five kings. And so what's going to happen? Uncle Abraham is going to get 318 of his trained servants. They're armed and they're going to go rescue Lot. Lot's in trouble. And then look in chapter 19, verse 1. After all that's over with, Lot goes back down to Sodom. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. This is after Abraham has had lunch with them. Came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them. He bowed himself with his face to the ground, and he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early in the morning and go." Lot, listen, he's sitting at the gate of Sodom. Now, he's become one of the elders of the city. He would be like a city councilman. So he's sitting there, and up walks these two angels. Now, they're like men. They look like men. They walk up, but you see, he still had enough spiritual discernment. He knew what they were. He knew that. It doesn't matter how far away you get from God. There's enough spiritual spark in you that you'll know the Abrahams, and when God sends the angels to you, you'll know that. And by the way, that's called grace. God could just cut you off, but he doesn't. He's still reaching out. He still wants you to come home. He still wants you to be not saved, but safe again. He wants you to walk with him again. And you know what's amazing? And with the story of Lot, because you know what happens, how the angels have to get him out of there and God destroys all of it. But when Lot comes out of there, Okay? He could have had the promised land and shared it with his uncle. But you know how Lot ended his life up? The last thing you hear about Lot is he's stuck in a cave somewhere. That's how his life ended. He could have gone back to his uncle. I guarantee you Abraham would have taken him back in and taken care of him. See, Abraham, he didn't care. He wasn't concerned about riches. He wasn't concerned about, all he knew is he had the promise of God. That's all he wanted. It wasn't stuff. Abraham had the promise of God. Lot wanted stuff. Well, now Lot has lost everything. It's all been burned up, Sodom and Gomorrah. His two daughters, they married men of Sodom. Well, you know where they stayed. He got them out of there, but then some ugly things happened. And his wife turned back to look at Sodom as it was being destroyed, and the Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. I mean, everything that Lot was hoping to have, everything he wanted to be, he lost everything. But he still had that spark. He still could have gone back to his uncle Abraham, and he didn't do it. He ended up in a cave. It's the last we hear about him. He's in a cave. So what are we going to do with all this today? Well, you go back to chapter 13. Watch verse 9, the first sentence. Is not the whole land before you? This is what Abraham tells Lot. Verse 10, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan. Verse 11, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent, even as far as Sodom. Verse 13, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. You know, God divinely sent Abraham away from the plain of Jordan. Why? Because Sodom was getting ready to get judged. It was going to be judged. So God protected Abraham again. But Abraham let God make the choice. Well, Lot, God knew what Lot was going to do. He knew Lot's flesh. He knew Lot was going to end up down there. He knew all that. See, that's that divine part where we trust God. See, what? Do you ever sit around thinking, why did he allow that to happen? Why didn't God do it this way? Abraham's not asking those questions. He's just trusting God. You remember when the angels, and we'll get to that when we get over chapter, the next chapter 14. When the angels come, Abraham is sitting outside of his tent. He's about ready to take a nap. Everything's so at peace, and all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus shows up. It's a Christophany, and the two angels show up, and Abraham jumps up and goes, and he tells Sarah to make a lunch for him, and so they're taking the life of a goat, and they're getting on goat's milk and bread, and all this stuff's going on. Abraham's just enjoying life. And he didn't have to sit at the gate like Lot did. He didn't have to worry about having this or that. Abraham's just sitting out in front of his tent. His tent. He's not living in a city like Lot was. He's content. He's satisfied. Why? He's walking by faith. But when you walk by sight, you've got to have this, you've got to do this, you've got to make sure you have this, you've got contacts, and you've got to make this happen, you've got to manipulate this, this, and this. And you know what? You're going to wear yourself out. But if you walk by faith, you just enjoy the journey. And you say, well, you're going to miss out on things. Okay, let's back up. I talked to Sandy last night about this and about how the Lord has just blessed us. And it's not about stuff. It's about relationships that he's allowed us to have and the places that he's allowed me to go to. When I was getting out of high school, remember, I'm the guy they pulled out of line. I didn't get to graduate. And I'm the guy, you know, if they'd had a title that said the most likely to end up in hell or jail, that would have been me. Because that's just the way I was living. But now here we are 50 years later, because we got our 50-year class reunions coming up. And they kindly let me go, even though I didn't graduate with them. I went through Florida Junior College and got my degree, high school diploma. And so here we are 50 years later, and you think about all the things that God has done in my life in the last 50 years. How about the last 46 years? Because that's when he saved me, 46 years ago. If you told me I was in high school, said, David, you're going to go to college, you're going to be a Baptist preacher one day, I went, what drug are you on? Yeah, that's ought to be good. Okay? And then, after all of that, the churches he's allowed me to pastor, the lives that I've been able to have a part in their lives, and then the mission trips he's allowed me to be on and the places he's allowed me to go to, and just, you know what? It's just a journey, and I'm enjoying every bit of it. And it's not about stuff, and it's not about things. It's about people, and it's about places, and it's about the Lord Jesus, every bit of it. Now, for those of you who don't know me, you think, well, I mean, you've got that silver spoon in your mouth. Everything you touch is just wonderful. Really? I didn't know that. You better go tell those 22 surgeries I've had. 22, yeah. I've had things operate on me. I didn't even know I had those things. The next one, though, they say they're going to find a brain, and I'm going to get on that one now because I really am looking forward to that one. Then I'll be able to, you know. And because I live in Florida, I got to put this crazy acid stuff on my face, and I walk around, and I look like, you look like Tip O'Neill. You look like you've been drunk for 20 years. Your face is all blood red. Yeah, you got high blood pressure? No, I just got cancer on my face, and I have to keep burning it off. That's why I wear a beard, to hide all that beauty. Parents pass away, in-laws pass away. I mean, that's life. But you know what? It's part of the journey. But if you're walking by faith, not perfectly, and not walking by sight because you're looking for what, how's it going to benefit me? You know what? It's an enjoyable journey. So let's stop. Let's put it together because we're getting ready to do the Lord's Supper. Because that's when I want you to think about everything. Do you see the difference between walking by sight and walking by faith? There's a tremendous difference. You're walking by faith. You're content. You'll take whatever God gives you, and that's God's best. You're not in competition with anybody else. You're just walking with Jesus. But now if you're walking by sight, oh man, you're competing. You got to keep up. You got to have. You got to do. You got to be, you know, all this stuff. And you're never content because it always has to be something else. You always have to do this. You always have to be able to go. And you're restless, and you can't sit still. That's walking by sight. Always thinking, what somebody, you're content? I'm content. Jesus is all I need. And the older I get, it's even getting narrower. Jesus and Sandy. We'll bring Marley along because she's fun. But Jesus and Sandy, that's it. And it's so simple. I don't have to go. I don't have to have. I don't have to be. I just have to walk with Jesus. There's a difference.